It's fun to hear the kids say, what are we going to be doing? And Nancy's filling them in on her way down the steps. Oh, that's wonderful. That's great. This morning, we are going to be looking at a passage of scriptures in Exodus regarding our freedom that we have. And the Bible speaks a lot of that. And, of course, we as a nation know that our freedom came back in over 200 years ago, 1776. And we celebrate that in July. And, of course, we recognize Memorial Day back in May and this already November, Veterans Day. So our message will be centered around our country's freedom and the price that our nation paid with our men and women who served faithfully. So Tuesday is officially the day of Veterans Day, and we want to observe this special day with a message from God's Word. And Veterans Day, it is a day for honoring all veterans, which we did recognize today, and Nancy did a tremendous job, that served in all of our armed forces. And it's good for us to reflect on the reason that our soldiers and men and women served our nation. They served and fought for our freedom. So this morning, that's why I entitled this Our Country's Freedom. Now, as we think about our freedom and all the wars that has been fought through all the generations and many, many, many generations from the foundation of our country, many lives have been lost, but it was all for the cause of freedom. And we know in God's Word, the same thing happened with nations. The nation of Israel was always at battle, and the leaders and the captains and the kings knew exactly who to go to get the strength and the wisdom and understanding and discernment to how to fight battles. And anytime we put God in the forefront of our lives as individuals and as nations, we know that God will fight our battles. If we depend upon Him and lean upon His wisdom and understanding and purpose for our lives, and especially when we depend upon Him for guidance, then He will see us through to the end. And I do believe that God has had His hand not only on Israel, but our nation, because our nation was founded on the principles of God's Word. And as long as we remain true to the one true God, God will be true to us, and His promises will stand and be firm for our nation to the end. But we need to pray for our nation. We are commanded to pray for our nation. It tells us in I think 1 Timothy chapter 2, that we are to lift up our kings and our people that we place in authority. We are to pray for them in their leadership, that they will take serious the office that they serve in and lead a nation in a godly way. So as we look at our country's freedom, I want us to, we are privileged. Tell you what, often as I am thinking about and I look around the beauty of our nation and the beauty of God's creation, I'm frequently are thanking God that I was born in America. Amen? We are very blessed blessed to be have been born in a nation where we have that freedom. And we do not need to take it for granted or take it lightly that God's hand is upon our nation and our lives. So let's look, first of all, as a day of remembrance. And looking in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 13, there's just two verses that I selected this morning because they are focused around the freedom that was given to Israel when they were in bondage in Egypt under Pharaoh's and his dictatorship. And God spoke to Moses and said, you go to Pharaoh and you tell him to set my people free. And Moses was faithful. He was a great general. He was a great follower of God. And he did not depend upon his own wisdom and understanding of what he was to do. And he said, Lord, how am I going to do this? And God said, I will show you. I will give you the strength and I will be there in the forefront of you leading the way. So as we look at Exodus 12, verse 14, the first part says, so this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. And you see, thinking about generations, look at the generations since our nation has been formed and all the men and women who have served faithfully. And we are to remember, and that's what we're doing today. This being Veterans Day, we are to remember those who served honorably, and we are thankful for them. And then in Exodus chapter 12, verse 3, the first part of that, and Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you went out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of the hand of the Lord brought you out of this place. You see, the strength of the Lord brought you out of this place. So in these two verses, thinking about it here this morning, we just read, Moses told all the children of Israel that this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it. And that's what we do. Some of the presidents and leaders of our nation established a particular day that we are to remember, Memorial Day, Independence Day, Veterans Day, and other days of great leaders in our nation who fought for freedom. We are to remember those. And what day was Moses referring to that Israelites were supposed to remember? What day was that?
Passover.
There you go. I quizzed you just a week or so ago, and I just thought I'd throw that out. Yes, it's the Passover. Israel was free from the bondage. That's what this verse said right here in Exodus 13:3. That remember this day in which you went out of Egypt, out of bondage by the strength of the Lord. So as you recall the story, the night of the Passover was when the Israelites were commanded to kill a lamb and to spread it over the doorpost. They were to do this on the two doorposts and lintel of their homes. And that's Exodus 12:3. So making the sign of a cross by this action, that was the command that they was given. That night the Lord sent a plague throughout Egypt, throughout the land of Egypt. And whoever had their door marked by the blood of the Lamb, death passed over them. Therefore, the name Passover, Exodus 12, 13. Now, recognizing the freedom of our nation, November the 11th, 1919, President Woodrow Wilson commemorated a message to his countrymen on the first armistice. That's what it used to be called, and then it was changed to Veterans Day after World War I, in which he expressed what he had felt the day, what it meant to Americans. In the last paragraph, he stated, "To us in America, the reflections of our Armistice Day or Veterans Day will be filled with a solemn pride in the victory, both because of the things from which it has freed us and because of the opportunity that has given America to show her sympathy with the peace and justice in the councils of nations." Likewise, the Passover, as I just read in these scriptures, they represent the freedom from slavery. And this is what Moses commanded the people to remember the day of their freedom. And throughout our nation, there's been opportunities and times that men, women, throughout different cultures that live within our nation were freed from slavery and all the other things that place people in bondage. So thanks be to many of our leaders who knew scriptures and knew the freedom that all mankind was created equally, should be free and have the opportunity to live a life fully as God had planned. And so when we think about our freedom and remembering, there's also a cost of that freedom. Freedom doesn't come without a cost, does it? Our freedom from sin came with a cost. The sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to take a moment to reflect on our country's freedom. The official day of our freedom was July the 4th, 1776, when the 13 colonies signed the Declaration of Independence and sent it to England to be read by King George III. If you recall your history, I always like to go back and read history. I've got history books and I've got different articles that I read periodically just to remind me of where we are and how we got where we are as Americans and who paid the price and who was able to bring about declarations and documents that show that we as Americans have that freedom, the freedom of speech even. And even though the 13 colonies declared freedom as independent nation, the people were not yet completely free. And they were just wars to be fought and lives to be paid for the cost of freedom. And just to reflect, and going back and looking at all the wars that we have been in from the very beginning, the establishment of our country, there has been an estimated of 2,710,700 lives for freedom. 2,710,700. And that's U.S. soldiers who have died over the past three centuries. And they died fighting for our country, our nation. They died for our freedom. They did it faithfully, willingly. And many of those didn't know, you know, what to expect, but they know the risk involving fighting for freedom. But they still, they did it. They died fighting for our country, our freedom. And Jesus said in John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends. And it's true that some of these men and women died out of a sense of duty to military. They did it out of a sense of the duty. But I know, and I've read, many have volunteered knowing the stake of going and not returning. They still were willing to fight. But I would like to think that many of them also died out of the love for their families and their friends, and I am sure a great number of them did exactly that. And let us never forget their sacrifice of love and the great price they paid for our freedom. There's a story, and it's a true story, and it actually happened back in World War I. And there was a captain, his name was Eddie Rickenbacker. He was flying a mission with 6 crew members, and another pilot was William Cherry. And they were flying to New Guinea, and they was going to send a message or take a message to author, trying to think of his name. Oh, I thought somebody said something. MacArthur. Yeah, MacArthur, that's who I was trying to think of. To send a message to him. But in their flight, they got detoured and was taking another route because of dangers of their flight. So headed over the South Pacific, their fuel got low, and they had to ditch their B-17 bomber into the ocean. And there for 8 days, their rations ran out. And of course, they was confronted with the storms and the winds and the sharks. Their raft was only like a 5 by 8. And there was 2 rafts, 3 in each raft. But their greatest fear was starvation. And William Cherry shared some scriptures and a devotion with the men. And they lifted up in songs and praise. Then after that, there was a period of just solemn silence. And some of them kind of drifted asleep. And William Cherry, he remembered Eddie Rickenbacker, one of the captains there of that plane, was sitting there with his head down, and all of a sudden something landed on his head. And the men that were awake looked and stared. And Rickenbacker, he thought, I know what that is. It's a seagull. Hundreds of miles away from land. Hundreds of miles from land. Here they were stranded out in the middle of the South Pacific Ocean. And this seagull lands on his head. And his next thought was, I've got to catch that seagull. And he did. They ate the flesh, and they used the intestines of this seagull for bait to catch fish. And this enabled them to survive until they were rescued. In October of 1973, you could see Eddie Rickenbacker in the southern parts of Florida walking the beach with a bucket full of shrimp. In recognition of that one seagull who gave his life so those men would survive, every day in the afternoon, the seagulls would meet him there on the beach. They knew he would be there, and they flocked around him, and he threw them shrimp. And that's when he passed away in October of 73. Of all of the years he spent feeding those seagulls, he felt it was his responsibility that God had supplied that one seagull willingly to sacrifice its life that these men might live. Now, we might think that's something ironic, but you know, miracles happen, don't they? They happen. And just like Eddie Rickenbacker never forgot the seagull that gave its life, and we never should forget the soldiers of our nation, our country, who gave their lives. Because that seagull gave up its life. Eddie got a second chance. His men got a second chance. Because many brave men and women have died in the armed services fighting for our country's freedom, we too have a chance of a second life. Now, we must not forget both the freedom and the life never come without a price. And I mentioned that a while ago. The blood of many soldiers paid for the freedom that we experience today. Just as the blood of the Lamb of the Passover paid for the lives of millions of Israelites. And that's why Moses, in these two verses I read, says, remember, don't forget, God freed you. Now, a price has been paid for freedom and life, and that price is death of another. Someone or something has to die in order that we might live. See, our soldiers died that we might have a life of freedom. And Jesus died that we might have eternal life. And Benjamin Franklin, as you see there, said, freedom is not a gift bestowed upon us by other men, but a right that belongs to us by the laws of God and nature. Benjamin Franklin said that. And it is true. Freedom comes with a price. And there is always that symbol of hope. And we always pray for that, don't we? As Americans, as Christians, we all know we have hope. And in the song, I'm Proud to Be American, you know, Greenwood sings that. Is a part that says the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. I like that song. That you? It's a beautiful song. Well written, well sung. And the flag of our nation stands as a symbol of freedom. And if you drive through Indiana and other states that really are patriotic, you see a flag out in the middle of your yard or somewhere where people can see, because they are very appreciative of the freedom we have. And when we see that flag flying, we know we still have that freedom. Think about that. We sure do. Our nation flag is a symbol of that hope. And in war, it has been a guide to soldiers lost in the heat of battle when they see it. Well, think about our song, Star Spangled Banner. Yet that wave still flew, and people knew that we were still fighting in battle. So just as we look to our nation flag as a symbol of hope, we must also remember to look to Jesus for that hope that we have. When we look at our flag and the red stripes remind us of the blood of many soldiers who gave their lives for our freedom. But when we look at the cross, we remember the blood that was shed for our spiritual freedom. And there's a big difference, isn't there? Two types of freedom I'm speaking of. And the Veterans Day lets us remember both our soldiers and our Savior who gave their lives for our freedom. So in closing this morning, in John, I read this earlier, but I wanted to read it again because Jesus spoke these words when he said in John 15:13, greater have no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. Yeah. Jesus was talking about himself laying down his life for mankind. He gave his life on the cross for those who are his friends. And in John 15:14, Jesus identified his friends saying this, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. And we need to remember that. We are his friends. We are his children. We are the part of his kingdom. So what does the Lord command? The answer is found in 1 John 3:23. And this is his command, that we should believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and love one another. And in order for his sacrifices on the cross to affect your lives and my life, we must do as he commands. That one verse right there, which is to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the answer. He's the one that gives us freedom. And in John chapter 8, where he talks about when he being questioned by the scribes and Pharisees and so forth, talking about the freedom. And he said, if you believe in me, I will forgive you of your sins. And therefore, when I forgive you, you are free indeed. And we need to remember, freedom comes with a price for nations and for our spiritual well-being. Jesus died for our sins. Let us pray. Father God, we praise your holy name this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the message from your word. Thank you for the freedom that we have as a nation. And we never should ever take it for granted. And thank you, Lord, for the freedom you give us. The freedom from sin, the bondage of sin, the darkness of sin, the destruction of sin that came in existence, the foundations of this world. And Lord, you covered that in Genesis 3:15 through your coming Messiah. Moses recognized that, and you inspired him to write those words to give us that symbol of hope, to give us that freedom from sin. And through generations that has carried through all of our men and women who have faithfully went and served for our nation. Because freedom is important. Freedom is that peace that surpasses all understanding, knowing that it comes from you. And one of these days we'll know exactly what it is when we meet you face to face and we spend eternity with you. That is ultimate peace. Peace from a dying world of sin. And Lord, we will be with you. Again, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for each one here. And Lord, whatever and however you have spoken to each and every one of our hearts today through your word, may we respond to your invitation and make it clear to each one of us what your message is today and how we are to respond. May we be faithful in that area of our life, because you command us to do that, to step out and take a stand for you. We take a stand for our nation. We take a stand for you. If we don't take a stand for you, then, Lord, we do not have a godly nation. So I praise you, Lord, and thank you. Thank you that you do intervene in our lives and you help us to make good decisions. And the decision most important in our lives is to accept you and know you as our personal Savior. We praise you and we thank you. In your Son's precious name, amen.